time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
There goes Pena, and a line drive base hit into right field. Tucker will score. Pena heads to third. He'll be held up there. Chaz McCormick into second base with an RBI double. It's 3-0 Astros.
How about a little Chasmanian Devil action?
You love that nickname.
I do. I think it's awesome to help the Astros beat the White Sox 3-2. No, it wasn't a high-scoring game, but at least they got the win. They have dropped the last two in Chicago, so good to see them get the dub. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass as always, and we're rolling along on a Thursday.
Something I learned yesterday about Tasmanian Devils, Vanessa.
Yeah.
Apparently, 50 are born in one litter, and not many survive. You know why?
Why?
The mom eats a lot of the litter.
That's totally normal.
Yeah. Survival of the biggest.
So Tasmanian Devils are real.
They are.
Are they extinct? Because I thought I saw something online where they were extinct. Sean, do you know this, Professor Mapes?
Tasmanian devils are still alive. I think they might be endangered.
Because
a lot of things are endangered. But yeah. The Tasmanian tiger is extinct.
That is what I saw online. They're trying to bring that back. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, let's not play God.
Come on, science.
Yeah, dinosaurs back.
Have you seen Jurassic World Dominion? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, we survived the end of all six, so, I mean, come on. It'll be fine. It'll be cute.
Chasmanian Devil, by the way, star high school basketball player.
How about that?
So, Framber Valdez last night tied Mike Scott for Astros franchise quality starts. 20 consecutive quality starts for Framber Valdez. Framber's interesting because you wouldn't have tied his name to the word consistency not that long ago.
No. I mean, the World Series, that was the big problem for him. And there's a part of me that feels, yeah, I'm happy with the consistency. At the same time, does this regular season consistency matter to the same degree that it would in the postseason? So, yes, I'm being, well, he ain't done it when it don't count, pal, guy. I think, though, that it's really encouraging as we get closer and closer. And how about that blast from the past that you just brought up? The great Mike Scott, who Mets fans hate. And a lot of people hate because they believe that he was messing around with the balls that he was throwing back in the day.
Do you think Mike Scott even knew that this record existed?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because I don't know when quality starts became a thing.
He's still alive, right? Do you think he's at home and he's like, wow, somebody's about to tie my consecutive quality starts for the Astros?
Got to beat him. That's how I would feel. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to bean him so he doesn't do that in the next
bean
start.
Him. I thought you said beat him. I'm like, Mike can't beat him. Mike's retired.
No, that's true. Not at this point. Unless, you know, you get a little steroids, get a little spider tack. Who knows?
But it was good to see them get the win. It's not that dropping a series to the White Sox is like some disastrous thing, but we've talked about this frustration with the Astros where they tend to play less against bad teams, and then play great against solid teams. Speaking of solid teams, they do take on the Braves next. Now, they have the White Sox today, but then tomorrow they are in Atlanta against the Braves. I think this is going to be a big game for all of MLB. Obviously, it's the World Series matchup. Maybe a little bit of a revenge series, although regular season wouldn't compensate for the World Series. But I'm interested to see how the Astros can hang.
Obviously, has a little history, too, with the Astros and Braves going back to the 90s. I'm excited for it. And, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how the Astros handle two crowds that are pissed off at them. I would imagine that Braves fans are going to be out for more blood. And that if they're at the stadium, of course, which I imagine they will be. And, you know, you've seen it in this series. It's been a pretty damn good crowd that the White Sox have been bringing. And you can understand why, given that the Astros eliminated them last year.
I was going to say, like, the Astros on the road, I hate to say it, but like I like seeing the fans from other teams get riled up because then the Astros travel very well.
Brings their level up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the Texans are preparing for their second preseason game. It is going to be a late one tomorrow against the Rams of Los Angeles, the reigning Super Bowl champs. Ugh. And
still grosses me out.
Yeah. It's still weird too because it's like after they won, it wasn't it wasn't like this big explosion of thank God our team won because there's like five Rams fans.
Right.
But it is a cool stadium. It's a very cool stadium.
I think a lot of Rams fans are going to be showing up to the game for the first time ever this season.
It was a lot of people from Hollywood that you can care don't to, you can tell don't care about sports and all that. I get it, but you know, come on, it's LA. I've never thought very highly of LA. I do think highly of Davis Mills. I like Davis Mills, right? Mm. So we're interested to see what Davis Mills can do in his second year, and his head coach Lovie Smith thinks that he can surprise a great deal of people.
Okay, are we capable of winning this year? Now think about what you just had. All right, your quarterback. Yeah, I wouldn't have confidence. That's all he's really saying is that, guys, we've been working hard. I think we're a pretty good football team. And if we do well, you're not picking us to win much, right? I say no one here is. So it's going to probably be a shock if that happens. So I think it's no more than that. And you're the quarterback, you know, you really have a pulse on what you're seeing each day. I think we're going to be pretty good this year. And if that happened, I mean, you could say that, Lovie say we're going to shock the world because nobody's picking us. Isn't that how it goes? If we do well, what's the story? Is it going to be a shock to you if we do well? Yeah, I'll answer for you. Yeah, it's no more than that.
I love that. He's not wrong. It would be a shock.
It would. There's a part of me, though, that doesn't want Lovie Smith to basically, I guess, walk back, in a way, Davis Mills' comments.
Right, right, right.
Because from this perspective, look, this team hasn't had a smidgen of hope in how long? Is it since they had the 24-7 lead on the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's probably the last time in the playoffs.
Yeah, because after they lost that game, everyone thought to themselves, well, Bill O'Brien's coming back, so why do I feel good going into this
Deshaun,
year?
We have Deshaun, DeAndre, JJ.
Yeah. And look, they start the season 0-4, O'Brien gets canned, everything goes downhill, Watson doesn't want to play anymore. Watson massage scandal. There's been zero hope here. But watching the Detroit Lions on Hard Knocks, Vanessa, I'm thinking to myself, you got to allow these guys to at the very least have these hopes and dreams. I don't believe Davis Mills at all. I know Lovie Smith is saying, oh, if we shock the world, we shock the world. I don't think they're going to shock the world. I don't think anyone should believe that. But I am not going to be the person like certain other stations in town that say, well, this team always sucks and they're always going to suck, you know? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the kid believe. And you know what? Maybe that allows for a change in just mentality in a locker room.
I was going to say, don't you want a quarterback that believes in himself?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I mean, I don't, again, believe him. But at the same time, I'm glad that someone's saying this. I think there's obviously a lot of doubters with good reason, but good. They need that.
The other thing, too, is that Lovie Smith is, well, his voice sounds like mine, by the way. Lovie Smith has always been known to keep it realer than most head coaches. Now, he's still a head coach. We still get the BS. I mean, we'll get to the whole Kenyon Green thing later on in the show. But So he still sounds like a head coach sometimes. So you have Lovie Smith, who keeps it real. And then you have Davis Mills, who, let's face it, Stanford, vanilla, PC, always says the right things. So there are going to be times where Davis Mills may say something that's really, really in line, put together, sounds like just a cliche, and then Lovie dismantles it. It's usually the opposite way around. It's usually the younger guys that may say something a little bit reckless, and then the coach comes in and is like, well, blah, blah, blah. It's interesting to me that it's the other way around.
Gruger Hill, who was on with us yesterday, Camu Gruger Hill, he said Davis Mills isn't shy anymore.
Yeah.
And comments like that to Peter King are, I think, a reflection of that. And you know what? If he starts to get a little swagger after being shy last season in his second year, I have zero problem with it. I want this to work out. I don't think it will. I'm not expecting much. That said, I mean, I hope he shocks all
of us. I think they're in the right direction. I mean, I think it's the first time I've felt like there is hope for this Texans franchise. And it may take a while, but as we always say, it's the AFC South. Like, they're not that far off from being able to win their division.
No.
But it's a hell of an AFC. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, have you had it with the family stories in sports? We walk through some of the best ones and when we officially got tired of them. But first, Paul's going to tell you about our friends at BUSR.
BUSR.com/ESPN. You go there, you put down a deposit, and up to $1,000, BUSR.com. is going to double it. What is BUSR.com? This is a website where you can do any gambling you want. Maybe you do believe that the Texans are going to shock the world and win the Super Bowl. Well, you can make a bet on that future at BUSR.com. Maybe you're a little bit more conservative. You're thinking to yourself, hey, the Houston Astros, they're going to win the World Series, right? They're beating another playoff team. They're playing a World Series team that they played this coming weekend. They're plus 320 to win the World Series. Maybe you want to put some money on that. You can also bet on everything from roulette to blackjack to even horse racing with a weekly newsletter and a sports calendar of the week to earn prizes, early lines, and free picks. Again, you want to go to BUSR.com, sign up, BUSR.com/ESPN, and you get to double your first deposit in the first 24 hours of signing up. BUSR.com/ESPN.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
There are a lot of great families in sports. It's genetics, it's conditioning, and no family embodies all of that more than the Watts. Not only do they seem to have the exact same mannerisms, the same diets, they wear the same clothes when they're at each other's weddings. But they're all talented football players. I don't think anybody has been better than J.J. in his prime. And apparently T.J. Watt agrees. Here's what T.J. Watt, when Channing Crowder asked him about that.
Flat out. You got your brother. Who's better, T.J. or J.J.?
In what?
In football. In what y'all do. I know you're younger. You have more years to play. Have you caught us some pass, J.J.?
This is the thing. This is like a real thing. I do think that it's misconstrued with – I want people to understand how great my brother truly was in his prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that it gets lost in today's, and I know he would be upset if I said this, but I think it truly is. It's like, you go back and you look at it, you watch the film, the guy was freaking unstoppable. Like, absolutely unstoppable. And he'll never say it, but it's like, I think people need to go back and look at that and be like, the guy was doing incredible things for 4 or 5 years. And I think he can still play at a high level. I think I'm too early in my career to compare myself to him at the moment, honestly.
It's a very nice thing for TJ to say.
It's the humble response.
Yeah, it is.
It's the expected response, too. You'd sound like a jerk if you're saying, yeah, I'm better than my brother. He sucks. Remember the last time he got hurt? Remember the last time he finished a season?
Remember when he got hurt before that?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if this was Aaron Rodgers, there would be a different kind of answer. But in this situation right here, I mean, you expect him to say that. And there is, I think, a point to be made that some people have, I would say largely nationally, forgotten how good J.J. Watt is. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Aaron Donald, playing in a similar position, has had such a consistent, dominant career that hasn't had the unfortunate potholes of injury, which Watt has had plenty of late.
He's not wrong. And I think that in Houston, we remember – I certainly remember, listen, I wasn't in Houston maybe during his prime, but I was in Indy. I mean, So I remember for sure. I think it was insane.
The best thing I've ever seen.
I will say that the choice to go to Arizona might have impacted his legacy more than we realize now, and we won't know this, hindsight's 2020, until he retires, but I don't believe he'll ever get a ring in Arizona. Now, how long he's going to be there, I don't know.
Better there than here, though.
Right. Yeah, no, much better chance there. So I would have liked to have seen him actually go play with his brothers, but this made me think of families and sports. And there is some other familial, potentially family news and sports, as LeBron signed an extension with the Lakers, a 2-year extension, and his agent, Rich Paul, said that he did it specifically so that he could possibly play with Bronny, his son, eventually.
Okay. I mean, yeah, stick with the organization that you clearly are maneuvering entirely on your own, despite the best efforts of Jeannie Buss and anyone else involved with that organization. I mean, I'll give LeBron credit for not grabbing the mic at Draymond Green's wedding and announcing that he had signed this extension. But yesterday, Vanessa, the few ESPN apps I jumped on, to see the amount of times that this was brought up, like LeBron's contract and all the people excited about LeBron resigning, I was so annoyed. And to hear now that, yeah, he's doing it so that he can play with Bronny, I guess.
So Bronny is 17.
Can he get to the NBA first?
He's 17, and I think they've talked about maybe him going to UNC. They've talked about him going to Michigan State because I guess LeBron is really cool with Izzo. So there's a lot of different possibilities there. Are you already over it? Because I'm going to be honest, like there are some families in sports, and we'll get to this in a second, that I don't think overdo it. The Currys have never overdone it. Like I actually enjoy hearing about, you know, Seth, Steph, you know, their dad, whatever, because I don't think that they've... LeBron and Bronny are going to overdo it. It's going to be brand partnerships. It's going to be influencer deals. It's going to be commercials. It's going to be Young King every day on the internet.
The kid from Akron.
I feel like I'm already over it.
Oh, I was over LeBron a while ago, and unfortunately for his kid, I'm over him already. I mean, I'm maybe not going to go as far as Skip Bayless did the other day, but there's a part of me that respects the hustle by Skip to go after him the way that he did. Look, I feel bad for Bronny. It must suck to be in the shadow of your dad, the greatest basketball player of his generation, much like it probably was for Michael Jordan's kid, who I think played at Central Florida.
He did, and Eric Gordon beat that you-know-what during a AAU yes. game. And Michael Jordan's kids were not good.
And to go a little further, I mean, I think per prospect rankings, Bronny's like projected to be the 39th pick in the draft that he's in. So, I mean, there's a pretty good chance that he's not going to make it into the NBA.
Really?
I think he'll be drafted entirely because of his dad and maybe the chance of getting his dad, not because of his actual skill. I feel bad for him from that perspective of like, hey, everything he's going to get is because of his dad. And this is one of those rare situations where I would imagine you would kind of be annoyed to be called the byproduct of nepotism. But I think that Bronny ultimately will be.
Sometimes there's a threshold for how good somebody's going to be. And we don't know what Bronny's threshold is. That's why I always laugh when these coaches offer kids in eighth grade. Like they may be the best eighth grade player in the nation, and then they may not have a growth spurt in high school. Let's talk about families in sports, because this made me think of some of the classic families in sports.
The Balls?
The Ball. Okay, so the Balls, let me just talk about the Balls for a minute.
I mean, to LeVar's credit, it did work out.
So we may disagree on this because I thought it got old really quickly.
I did too, but I think he learned, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know.
You haven't heard from him a lot recently.
I enjoyed, you know, the fact that he supported his kid, but the way that he laid into, you know, Christine Leahy and all of that, I just thought
that was bad, but
obnoxious.
But if we're talking about just getting his kids to the finish line, like LaMelo Ball shocked a lot of people because I think a lot of folks were looking at him playing basketball and were thinking to themselves, this does not look like it will work, but it did work out pretty damn well in
it
his first
out.
Season. Lonzo's credit, he's still in the NBA. Now, you have LiAngelo, who probably should be in a Chinese jail, but because of the shoplifting
thing.
Yeah,
it did work out in a way, but it was very obnoxious to me. Now, we can disagree on that. Venus and Serena, probably as far as female families go, I don't think that ever got old, but similar to the Ball family, like, their dad got really old to me quickly when it was all about their dad. Like, I understand he had a huge part in their life and trained them. I'm glad they did the movie with Will Smith about it, but like it's about the girls.
I'll be honest too. I didn't even know about the dad until the movie came out and Will Smith slapped someone.
I was gonna say Richard Williams not only gave us probably the greatest female tennis player of all time, also gave us an all-time pop culture moment.
The greatest
Pour
moment in
out.
Oscars
That's
history.
True. That's
that,
true.
That you know what? Good point. That's another feather in the cap of the Williams family. There's been a couple on the season of Hard Knocks that we've seen thus far. The Hutchinson family has been interesting because I believe that Aiden Hutchinson's sister is like Miss Michigan or something like that.
You sliding in her DMs yet?
And you also have in that family, you're watching them up in the press box in their ivory tower, and they're clearly trying to get their branding going.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of things, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has a father that's like a world champion bodybuilder.
Mr. Universe.
Mr. Universe, my bad, which is, damn, that's a pretty good title to have, who apparently changed his son's last names to St. Brown from Brown because he thought it would look better on the back of a football jersey. And here we are, this complete hardo weightlifter who was telling his kids in Hard Knocks, you don't need water. Isn't spit enough? Like, just a complete
holy
meathead hardo.
Concerning.
He seems like he would be a little bit too much. And there's so many parents out there that you know are the same. And he's like one of the rare exceptions where that hard-ass parent right. actually works out, helps the kids get to the pros.
But isn't that one of the themes that we're seeing with all of these families in sports is that the dad is just an absolute savage?
I wouldn't say all, but a lot, yeah.
So my favorite all-time, obviously, is the Mannings. Love the Manning family. Mm-hmm. Eli I loved because he beat the Patriots. Peyton I love because he played for the Colts.
Arch.
Hey, we'll see. We'll see, baby.
Cooper Manning, I love Arch because he didn't send, you know, goons to somebody's house when, like, there was an investigation into HGH or something, you know?
Cooper.
I like that.
Cooper was a good high school football player, too.
Cooper was a great high school football player.
So he had the spine issue.
Yeah.
Now a business titan in the energy sector.
I don't think they ever got annoying. I do think that, and I say this as somebody that loves the Mannings, I do think the NFL catered to them a little bit in certain aspects and certain respects. And I think that got old to fans of other teams.
I agree. Very old to me.
That's my pick. Any other sports families that stick out to you guys? I think of the Andretti's with racing, of course.
I think when it comes to Houston, you have the Matthews family
yes.
with, of course, Bruce Matthews playing here.
Jake's in Atlanta right now,
so,
I believe.
Clay Matthews, like, and that's, you know, that's two different brothers
yeah,
having all those
Bruce
kids.
And Clay Senior
right.
are brothers, and then they have their children in the league.
I have a book about the Matthews family. I haven't opened it up, and I also have another book about of course, Wade Phillips and his dad, Bum Phillips. Wade Phillips, of course, was the defensive coordinator with the Texans. He was a guy who worked on the Houston Oilers coaching staff. He's going to be the head coach of Houston's of the Roughnecks when they come back, which is pretty awesome to see. And then on the other side of things, too, you had Bum Phillips, who's like perhaps the most lovable coaching figure in Houston sports history, even if he wasn't maybe that successful. I mean, you wore a cowboy hat on the sideline.
Right.
It's like the most badass thing I've
At
ever
son
seen.
Son of Bum. All right, let us know your favorite families in sports and who is your least favorite.
Not the Tlaib family. Not a good week for the Tlaib family. No, not, oh. not a good week for the Tlaib family, as
no.
pointed out on Twitch.
Yeah, whoa, I mean.
not
and I think Aqib was about to start a television career. Probably not anymore. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking about some of the biggest stories in the NFL. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
If each day were a year, it'd be legally drinking by the time we get to the NFL season. 21 days until the regular season kicks off, and boy, are we excited. All right, Paul Gallant, jersey number 21.
Real quick, what? How old were you when you had your first drink?
17. I had just gotten off a shift hosting at Lone Star Steakhouse. I took a steak, a sweet potato with cinnamon on it. We went to my friend's treehouse and drank.
That is an awesome place to have your first drink. What did you have?
Drink at a treehouse. I had some sort of vodka, and
oh,
from then
going
on,
hard.
Basically just drank vodka. Now, obviously, where I'm from culturally, it's more of like a beer thing. So what we would do, we would have these big bonfires and go out on some whoever's parent had a farm. And like you drive all the way out and
Damn.
Then no one's going to catch you.
Midwest sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's actually very Americana.
Sean Mapes, how about you? First drink, how old?
Probably like 15, 16.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
It was a summer with my uncle and that side of the family.
It's always the uncle.
Here one of those go. Uncles.
What about you?
I was 17. I had just stopped playing high school football, and I was trying to impress Taylor Clavins, who I eventually took to the prom.
Oh, success.
No, it wasn't because she didn't tell me about the pre-prom festivities. And I had a Bud Light, and I thought to myself, seeing all those commercials, this is going to be amazing. And I was so disappointed.
And you hate Bud Light to this day.
I still do hate Bud Light.
We were at a bar the other night, and he's like, oh, Bud Light's terrible.
Is that a core memory?
It is a core,
it's a core memory.
Memory. Thank you, Sean, for bringing it back to things that I don't like so I can move on to Deion Sanders,
yeah.
number 21, prime time. Most famously known as a Atlanta Falcon and as a San Francisco 49er. He also played for the Washington football team and the Baltimore Ravens. Any other teams he played for? I don't know.
Well, he's also a coach.
That's true. He is a coach at Jackson State.
Mike Zimmer just joined his staff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that story? Mike Zimmer's quote was like, "They don't pay well, but I like Dion." I'm like, all right. The honesty is still going.
Anywhere else that he played for? Did anything else? He was on TV.
Florida State.
That's true. Been on Pardon My Take a couple of times.
Yeah.
Great career.
Shout out to Prime. I got his stuff stolen his first game. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
And he made
that.
A big deal out
that
of that.
That was a weird scandal, yes.
I guess if you're as good as Dion, you could be that flashy, but he's another that gets on my nerves.
He also played for the Atlanta Braves.
Very true.
And the Yankees.
He also had an interest.
Didn't he have a hit in the World Series?
Yes, he played baseball. You're right. Thank you, Sean, for getting another team in there. Here's one last story, and I remember this because I was going to high school in Florida, and this was a big deal. Noel Devine is one of those guys that you used to watch YouTube highlights of. I guess like the Houston equivalent would be, I think, Sam McGuffey, where there's just this like ridiculous highlight reel. And Deion Sanders tried to adopt him, who was like one of the top recruits in 2007. So he was like a mentor for him. I'm not sure how that worked out. Because I think Devine did have some like interesting issues.
People adopting athletes is sketchy to me. Now, there are a couple of exceptions. The Blind Side, that seemed genuine. I know a very, very famous basketball from Indiana that had kind of an adopted family, and I know that was for real. But like, it's just very, very odd to me.
Did Deion Sanders get the idea to adopt Noel Devine from The Blind Side?
Yeah, see, I'm trying to work out the timeline.
My favorite part
of The Blind Side is that the part of the movie that they faked is the sequence where Tim McGraw teaches him how to play football. He knew how to play football. I'm like, that changes everything.
Also, Hugh Freeze is a good guy in that movie. That's also fake.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Here's the thing. We heard Aaron Rodgers lay into his wide receivers the other day to the media. They ended up having a meeting after that practice where he talked about the wide receivers, how they can improve chemistry and whatnot. He did not, however, lay into Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers said, quote, "I felt really bad for Jordan the other night because we had a couple of total mental busts for picks. We had a drop for a pick. We had two guys running who knows what on the third one. Now, he shouldn't have thrown the ball there probably, but some of that's veteran stuff, making veteran mistakes."
Would you want that from Aaron Rodgers?
That feels so pathetic.
I mean, now Aaron Rodgers is patting you on the back and saying, like, well, actually, if you watch the film, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I wouldn't have made those throws, but it wasn't that bad. It's okay, Jordan. You'll be fine. I think that there's a little condescension coming from Aaron Rodgers in that moment. That said, I don't mind it. It's kind of funny.
It's almost one of those things, too, to where if Rodgers is harder on you, I feel like it means he may actually see potential in you.
Like, with
the wide receivers, I think he actually thinks they could be good. With Jordan, he knows Jordan Love is not good. So he's like, oh, buddy. Pat on the head.
I got to say, I am liking Aaron Rodgers more and more. I feel like he was right to call out those young wide receivers the other day.
You are liking Aaron Rodgers more and more.
It's entirely the Nicolas Cage stuff. I can't lie.
And you're also Team Petty.
Yep.
You're the co-captains of Team Petty.
The two of you are definitely Team Petty.
We are who we are.
All right.
Need some ayahuasca now and a witch girlfriend.
Fantasy football. Yeah, you would do a witch girlfriend.
Get the hatcher.
Fantasy football draft alert. Alvin Kamara is bracing for a 6-game suspension. But it doesn't sound like he's going to face a 6-game suspension anytime soon. There's no change to his status. An NFL spokesman told Mike Florio, "We continue to monitor all legal developments in the matter, which remains under the personal conduct policy." It was like battery charges for a weekend in Vegas.
Yeah, and it's tricky because I think a lot of people are starting to have fantasy football drafts. And I mean, this is a guy that once won me a fantasy football championship by scoring 6 touchdowns in a game. I mean, whoever had him that year, you guys know. I would say that this is something that if you're a fantasy football owner, you would like to have resolved now so you can figure out when to draft him. And my fantasy football draft, the first of the two leagues I'm in, this is with my Houston buddies. It's on Sunday. So, hey, NFL, let's speed the process up. Thank you.
Do we like the idea of competitive fights at practice? Because the Patriots have had a lot. The Patriots and Panthers had a fight.
Panthers
the Patriots
the
had their own fight, though, at one point, where they fought each other. Remember? It was before the combined practices. They had a little scuffle.
Oh, yeah. You know, guys being guys. Yeah. Dudes being dudes. But the Panthers started this fight because apparently what happened, there was a guy trying to catch a punt, and the person who was kicked out of practice yesterday for the Panthers laid him out, and all the Panthers started celebrating. So 36-year-old special teams veteran Matthew Slater, who said afterwards, like, I don't fight, but what the hell was that, said that he decided to walk over and, like, basically raised his arm, saying, like, what was this? And essentially it turned into a brawl there. I think that this is more to do with Matt Rhule trying to get whatever he can out of his team, and he's telling them to just go all out, to go guns blazing in practice. And I guess it theoretically could work out in the regular season, but just given Matt Rhule's track record with Carolina already, it probably won't.
Was Matt Rhule the most overhyped, overpaid hire as a coach? I mean, to the point to where the owner even kind of said that he regretted paying him that much money.
I thought it was a great hire. Yeah, but I mean, look, he turned Baylor around when Baylor had essentially had its head cut off. He deserved credit for that, and he did a damn good job at Temple before. I actually did think very highly of him. But something's going on, and it does give me Bill O'Brien vibes where he can't figure out the offensive coordinator to work for him. And he fired, Joe Brady, who was very highly thought of before he joined the Carolina Panthers.
Awkward moments happen in press conferences all the time. Usually they're not recorded, and you just move past it.
Oh, boy. Now they're all on YouTube, and they live forever.
On a Zoom call for the Patriots, this is what happened.
What do you think that your best feature is? I mean, you're a big back. You're good run black back.
Oh no!
So,
I don't even want to give that guy's name. I feel bad.
Can you?
I don't have his name, but he's talking to. I think it's Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah,
and on a Zoom call, and yeah, he.
No.
He had a slip of the tongue twice on the same word.
Yeah, and when you look at the quote tweets, everybody is like, there's no way he did it twice.
There's nothing that terrifies me more than a slip of the tongue.
No way he did it twice.
Oh, boy.
Aren't you lucky you only mixed up Ryan Griffin and CJ Fedorowicz?
Yeah, thank you, Bill O'Brien, for reminding me of that. Well, you know, all white tight ends look the same when your press box is literally above the stadium.
You're a big tight end.
That's racist. I thought you didn't see color, Mr. Colorblind Sean Mapes, which we learned yesterday.
I would be wondering, has this reporter apologized? Has there been a, you know, and not that he was meaning to do it, but it's just so awkward. And if you look at this player's
so
face
awkward.
During this.
I don't even want to see it.
It's one of the more awkward things that I've seen.
When The Office first came on TV.
Oh, love it.
I used to change the channel because I felt so uncomfortable. And I would change right back, but I'd be like, I can't watch this. It would make me so anxious. I would walk out of the room if that happened. I was in that press conference. The poor guy.
And it was on Zoom, so he might have just been in like his living room and just died of embarrassment right there.
Oh boy.
Well, hopefully he had his pants on, unlike that one CNN guy.
Been a lot of weird things.
It could have been worse.
Happened over Zoom. I tried to do teletherapy. With a woman, and she was so annoying, and her dogs kept barking, and then she tried to show me her bird in a cage. The whole Zoom
thing.
Was
it like metaphorical
therapy? It was like, this is not going to work.
You are a bird in a cage.
Yeah.
Despite all your rage, you are still just a bird in a cage.
I can tell you've had therapy there.
I actually went to see my therapist over video Tuesday.
There you go.
I do it once a month. It's weird, the video, but I've gotten used to the video because I've been doing it now like for the last couple of years via video. I much rather would go into the office and lie down on the couch.
Diagnose me, baby.
Yeah.
Help me fix the world.
Oh, wow. Sounds like, you know, something that's going to turn into a Dateline episode.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what are the all-time grossest things that athletes have done in the heat of the battle? Let us know what you think. That's next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along. Sorry, we have a headphone situation in the studio, just FYI. Anybody who sits in this chair, me, Jake Asman, Jeremy Branham, John Granato, it like the headphones don't work half the time. And so I don't hear the song. I don't hear. I have to like press on it to hear the sound bites. It's a whole thing.
Why don't you put in a ticket? That's how it works here. Put in a ticket so someone can take care of it.
Oh, okay. You think that'll happen?
I don't know. You got to put in the ticket first, though. That's what you're generally told whenever you have a tech issue at any company that you've ever worked for.
Yeah, that or unplug it and plug it back in.
yeah, that's always the first thing they tell you to do.
I'll go to the Geek Squad people at Best Buy, and they're like, have you tried restarting your computer? Yes, Sarah, I tried restarting my computer. It didn't work. That's why I'm here. If you can tell, this happened very recently. We'll get to the grossest moments in sports in just a few minutes. We do have some big news. The Big Ten announced a new 7-year media rights deal with all three, CBS, Fox, and NBC.
Ooh.
It begins July 1st, 2023, runs through the 2029-30 season. $1.2 billion annually is what it's expected rake in.
More Midwestern sports in my
life. Hell yeah.
A bunch of corn-fed, slow plotters on national TV.
I don't know about slow.
Big Ten's pretty slow.
Not everybody in the Big Ten is slow.
Yeah, if they're at Ohio State.
Hardworking, family values, core values, they're not slow.
I mean slow like they will lose in a race because they're big, broad people.
Oh, okay. I guess I thought you meant mentally slow.
They play this.
Ironically enough, I was mentally slow about what you meant.
See, so I didn't say anything about it because I would never disparage the great people of the flyover region known as the Midwest. What I will say is that I don't want more 48-46 Purdue Indiana classics in basketball. I don't want more 6-12 Maryland Rutgers games in football. That's just me, though, you know? But hey, good for the Big Ten. They found a way to get a big time deal, and part of it has to do with the fact that they, of course, were able to bring in USC, UCLA into the Pac-12. Into the Big Ten, like from the Pac-12. That was a hell of a move by them, I think. They just got to keep on going.
I think that when you look at the revenue, and this is also going to be a conversation that involves student-athletes of, hey, not all of us can have the opportunity to make as much NIL. Show us the money. A lot of it's going to have to go to travel. Let's face it. You have a volleyball team and the non-revenue sports, whether it's rowing, whether it's tennis, pretty much everything except for football and men's basketball, a non-revenue sport, they're going to have, you know, need plane trips to UCLA. And yeah, so that's going to, I think, be a big thing. But we'll see how that works out. It's a lot of money, but good to see the Big Ten folks snap into control and realize that they needed to do something immediately. All right, Paul, you brought up this story about a rugby player, Corey Norman. Boy. Do you want to take us through this? And then we're going to ask y'all what the grossest moments in sports are.
The grossest things that have happened in the heat of the bat. In the heat of the battle, if you will. I'll put this in quotation marks.
Heat of the moment.
So, Australian, good song by Asia? No, wait. I don't know. Australian rugby league player, Corey Norman, has been given an 8-game suspension and fined £500 for, quote, intentionally placing a hand between the buttocks of an opposing player. This was announced by the Rugby Football League on Wednesday. Classic Australians. The incident occurred between Toulouse's Norman and Warrington Wolves' Oliver Holmes during the two teams' match last Thursday. Tribunal Chair Justice Sarah Wright and two side members ruled that this was a satisfying penalty because it was intentional. Essentially, yeah, this guy was in the midst of setting up a scrum, and while trying to get the ball away from him, somebody reached over the back of his buttocks and put his hand in between.
What was the goal? Was it to harass this man? Was it to grab something?
It was probably to grab something so that he would lose hold of the ball.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, that's how it works. Have you ever been at the bottom of a pile in football?
I've wondered where that was going. Have I ever been at the bottom?
No, I'm not asking you about orgies. I'm asking you about football, Vanessa.
I have not been at the bottom of a pile in a football game.
Okay.
Sean, would you ever think that I would have at any point in my life been at the bottom of a football pile?
I don't know.
Pile?
Maybe you played powder puff football or something like that.
Yeah, I would have bet against it.
Yeah.
But, fair point. You know, what? I should have just told my story about being at the bottom of a pile in a football game.
Yeah, please tell me about the time you were bottom.
So... I don't know what to say. That was funny. So I get to the bottom. Jeez, I just can't get out of my head now.
I don't know why. I'm just asking you the question you asked me.
Anyway, so it's a football game. Fumble on the ground. I dive. I get the ball. I clearly have the ball and I'm down. Pile ensues. Not only was my helmet twisted around my head to the point that I was looking out of my ear hole, but somebody felt that it would be a good idea to grab the berries a couple times. And since no referees were there to see it, I lost the ball because I was in absolute agony under the pile, even though
because
I had the ball
first.
Because
somebody grabbed yours.
Yes. So from that point on, whenever I recovered a fumble, I was in the fetal position.
That's like sexual harassment. That's insane. I did not know people did this.
The refs don't. The refs. This had. You would be surprised by the amount of homoerotic things that happen in the middle of physical sports like
football, I played basketball, and rugby. If a woman were to grab my basketball, I would have been very upset.
There was a. Your basketball. There was a moment during the celebrity. All-star game in basketball where the guy who was on The Bachelor not too long ago was trying to high-five a female player who was coming up to high-five him, and he missed, and he grabbed her boob. Like, he just totally missed.
He quote-unquote missed.
He wasn't. He was looking ahead. I think there's plausible deniability there.
That's how they do it on The Bachelor.
What are the grossest moments in sports? For me, now, this wasn't his fault, but when Kevin Ware got hurt, do you guys remember all the close camera angles? And that's when Twitter was really like becoming an in-the-moment app.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah.
And his knee is shattered. You are seeing the bone of his body part. Which body part was it? It was right below his knee.
It was like
his femur
or something.
Femur, something like that.
Oh, it was his thigh. God,
and instead of, I don't remember which network had that game.
CBS.
Oh, it was
They kept on
so
showing the replay.
Bad.
I saw one like that. And this is, again, another high school football story. We were playing Fort Meade the first game of my junior year. And this kid was scrambling down the right sideline. And one of our players hit him in the leg. And like, the next thing I know, like, there's just blood on the field, and like, yeah, he had like a compound fracture in his everything below the knee, and it was pretty graphic. I'll give the kid a lot of credit because he was toughing it out. Everyone felt bad for him. Like, the entire both teams like went over to like shake his hand. It was, oh God,
it sounds awful. We have a caller. Rolando anyway. Would like to talk about some of the grossest moments in sports. Hey, Rolando.
Hey guys, what's up?
Yo,
hey.
What's up? So, I got two for y'all.
Okay.
They're both UFC. One girl back in 2017, I can't remember her name, but she's getting her butt whooped, and she craps her pants, and you can see the poop all over the ring.
Oh, dang!
And there's a second one. I can't remember his name.
It
was the first UFC event back when COVID happened with fans everywhere. It was crazy, best event ever. The dude is. Loads up to kick the other guy's leg. First, like, 5 seconds, 10 seconds in the fight. Loads up, kicks it, breaks his leg. His leg wraps around the guy's leg, touches his own leg. He goes back to his stance, and it breaks. Like, it was already broken there, but, like, he didn't feel it. He steps back, and you can just see, like, you guys got to go watch it.
Okay, we're good. Jesus Christ. Okay, now we're good.
Thanks, Rolando.
Appreciate it.
Do you remember that one? Those are UT. Do you remember those, Sean?
It was UFC fights where, I forgot who it was.
Oh, UFC. I thought he said UT.
I forgot who it was, but yeah, they did like a leg kick and it like snapped. His leg snapped on his leg. But with all the adrenaline stuff, he doesn't know. So he just goes back and he like goes to stand back up and you can just see his like where the bone is no longer connected on his leg and it just like. His shin touches the canvas.
I'm glad that no one else can see on the twitch.tv/ESPN975 Sean making all these angular motions with his arm to display what happened to that leg. I'm just going to move to something that's like slightly less gross. Evander Holyfield getting his ear bitten off by Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
That was nuts. I mean,
that's
Mike
still
Tyson's-
to this story, that's probably the top one people think about, right?
Yeah, and wasn't Tyson's career kind of like done, at least as far as like getting all the primetime bouts after that happened?
Race car drivers peeing is another one I think of. And that one is really common because they can't leave the car.
Yeah, there's an interview a while back about Mark Schlereth, the former Denver offensive lineman, where it, like, and he was just like, oh yeah, pee all the time in my pants. It, and he was like, he made it seem like a competitive advantage of like, well, you're stinkier. They don't want to. They don't want to get up on you.
That's where it really motivates me.
This is where I wanted to stay, like more with like, you know, not like the graphic injuries where people are getting decapitated. Stop that, Sean, on the field. Like I wanted to stick to, I don't know, like guys peeing themselves in the middle of a game, which I had to do in high school once because there was this team we played with no bathroom.
Oh,
bunch
fans.
Of pores. Gateway Charter, get a freaking stadium.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we want to hear more of you guys' grossest injuries. Keep them coming.
No,
we're also
going
to talk Astros. Paul especially wants to hear it, so make sure you tweet him at Gallant Says. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.